Welcome back. 1144, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, Washington Times State Department correspondent Guy Taylor. Hello, Guy.
Andy, how are you?
Doing just fine. I knew we'd be speaking today after our conversation of yesterday. And I pick up today's Washington Times and I see the headline, Confidential U.S. Assessments Show Afghanistan Not Ready to Govern on Own. So they're not ready to go it alone, and our government really didn't want Americans to know about this?
That's right. This is based on a series of confidential assessments that the U.S. Agency for International Development had done over the last 3 years. And while they've leaked them out to congressional oversight people and lawmakers who said, we really want to see these things, they hadn't been made public before. And we FOIA'd the documents and got our hands on them first. I think the big takeaway here, Andy, and this is what we posted these documents on the Washington Times so people can kind of look at them for themselves. But the big takeaway is that USAID, which is effectively the State Department's arm for reconstruction and nation building in Afghanistan, has concluded in its own exhaustive series of reports that the Afghan government is simply not ready to stand on its own after all these years, more than 12 years of U.S. support and occupation of the country. And the reason this really matters is right now is that U.S. forces are moving very close here to pulling out of Afghanistan and leaving the nation to itself. President Obama has said that will happen by the end of this year. I want to be clear, though, that a lot of the information that we get into in our story in these documents was actually first reported by the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan. That's a group that was mandated by Congress and signed into existence by President Obama himself a few years ago. It's a group known in Washington as CGAR. And they've actually done a series of scathing reports on the USAID and State Department spending in Afghanistan, basically suggesting that over the past 12 years, the roughly $100 billion of U.S. taxpayer money poured into the war zone has only been effective to a very limited degree in propping up a capable Afghan government. What's really new now is that CGAR had these USAID assessments, but USAID and the State Department were in a fight with CGAR where they said, we don't want these things to go public, basically because it's on State Department stationery. These were our own assessments, which would suggest that we knew all along that this was happening, but we were still letting money flow into the country. And those are the documents that we got, the actual DNA in bloodstream of the congressional oversight of this whole situation. Now, last thing here is that USAID, and we were really fair, I think, in our story today. USAID came, and the State Department really came swinging back yesterday when they found out that we had these documents, and they said, look, you have to take a rational and common sense approach here. There were basically no Afghan government ministries in existence 12 years ago. And actually, there's been a huge amount of progress that, you know, news writers don't want to pay attention to because it's not as sexy, and that State Department and USAID officials are eyes wide open about the reality that this is extremely difficult. And the whole reason that they did these confidential assessments was to try and gauge whether or not U.S. taxpayer money would be wasted on this effort. So they're fully aware of the situation, and it's kind of unfolding here. The reason we're very interested in it as well is because I think it's going to be an election issue in 2016, particularly if Hillary Clinton, who was the Secretary of State, which oversaw USAID as well, ends up as a major contender because she was involved in a lot of the decisions about oversight and how the money was being spent over the last several years.
You know, I was reading your story and I saw where 6 out of 7 government ministries overseeing finance, mining, electricity, communications, education, health, and agriculture cannot be trusted to manage aid from the U.S. And I'm thinking, all right, there are two choices here. We stay and we make sure it's done right, or we pull the financing, resulting in what? A total collapse of the government?
Well, you know, there's going to be people that come out on both sides of that. And I think we can get to that in a second. First, I mean, just to get into the details of these documents, I mean, they basically outline situations where, for instance, at the Afghan Ministry of Mines, which basically, if the United States leaves, the Afghan Ministry of Mines will be in charge of overseeing mining activity in the country by private companies from around the world, right? Now, this is very important because it could draw significant revenue to the Afghan government. But in these assessments, it outlines a situation where the Afghan Ministry of Mines has basically no capability to keep financial records of its operations now or going forward. And as a result, things like bonuses paid in cash to employees are not tracked. There's issues about the possibility of paying ghost employees. There's a landscape rife for bribery. And obviously some of these things we've known were going on well before the U.S. Intervention in Afghanistan began in 2001. So there's a degree of obviousness to all of this. But at the same time, the reports are very scathing. As to the question of how this plays out politically and the debate over what do we do now in Afghanistan, I think what's interesting is you see people on both sides of the aisle who are kind of aligned in this idea that we need to cut and run at this point. It's gone on too long. There's an isolationist element in the Republican Party, the Ted Cruz's, Rand Paul's, who think we've blown way too much money in Afghanistan. And then on the left, you've got the Obama camp, which is basically saying all along, we're war weary and it's time to get out of this war. What these assessments do and what we've done in our story is say, well, what's the overall price? And that's what you're bringing up here, right? Is that if we cut and run, does Afghanistan crumble and the Taliban takes over again? The government that we've propped up falls apart, maybe has control of Kabul, but essentially you've got a national security situation that brings us right back to where we were in the year 2000, where Afghanistan was a very unstable place with very little government or oversight to oversee nefarious activities of groups like Al-Qaeda. Mm. And that would be a horrible foreign policy failure and a very expensive one, and none of this is to mention the loss of U.S. lives and U.S. troops in the process.
The story in today's Washington Times is entitled Confidential U.S. Assessments Show Afghanistan Not Ready to Govern on Own. It is by Guy Taylor. And Guy, before I let you run today, you are continuing your work on this story, and we will see more when.
We're going to try to have another story tomorrow that looks at the fallout from this and what the potential political ramifications are. Some of the stuff we were just talking about.
All right, very good. I hope to talk to you then as well. Thank you, Guy. Appreciate your help.
Thanks, Andy.
Guy Taylor, State Department correspondent here at the Washington Times. 11:52 on 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.